I'm Christopher Lighton with a fountainhead of Ghanaian music, Aja Kodnimo, who grew up in the Royal Ashanti Court and gets credited over a lifetime with adding the palm wine sound to the living stream of Ghanaian and world music. In Kumasi, the Ashanti capital of Ghana, this is open source from the Watson Institute at Brown University, a global conversation with Ghanaian music and some American questions. Good morning, Kodnimo. It's such a pleasure, such a treat, such a privilege to be with you. Before we're done, I hope you will give us a sense of the whole flowing history of Ghanaian music, from Ashanti tradition to world music today. Where do we begin?
Well, I've been singing all my life, so I'll introduce with a short song.
Please.
The title is "By When Death Sells." If you come across death selling his wares by the marketplace, bargain with death, because whether you do so or not, one day you fall a victim.
Okay.
Good. And listen to that.
You're playing with four accompanists, some singing, some making rhythm, and I notice you're playing with a Yamaha guitar that was made in China.
Yes.
This is world music.
This is a gift from Faisal Helwani. We're recording in his studio, and it's a song he loved so much. He went to his room, came out with a guitar. Ko, take this guitar.
How he loved Ghanaian music. I remember him well. He was a Lebanese man born in Ghana, married to a Ghanaian woman, and he had recorded so many people, including Fela Kuti and Hugh Masekela, and all so many high life musicians. He was a lovely man, and I'm so sorry we have lost him. He was going to record Ghanaba again, and I promised him I would come back and write about it. Kodnimo, who put the first guitar in your hands, and when did you realize that you were going to make your life with a guitar?
I think that was in 1948. It was an Akwapim man. He was the son of Presbyterian priests. From about five, I was learning to play the harmonium and all that. But then I visited my father in half bra, half kukum. And I met this gentleman playing on the guitar. That was my first introduction. But then in 1951, when I was at Saddle College, Cape Coast, a late friend of mine called Dr. Poku, who were rivals in school. Anything Harry did, I felt I could do better. So I saw him one morning strumming a simple tune. So what? Harry's playing this? I'll play guitar. And that was it.
Do you remember the simple tune?
It was a simple EK tune. It goes like this.
What did Ashanti music sound like when you inherited it?
Interesting. It started with Nyonkoro. Nyonkoro means songs for nation building. Mm. And women would gather around at dawn to sing. And they would arrange themselves in a circle. And each woman who mentioned the name of an ancestor who had led a good life, people who had actually fought, people who had led expansionist activities. And then they wake them up. Sometimes they will send them gifts. And I will be sitting with these musicians. Mm. Just listen to one song.
Please.
Here goes, sir. In Modo. And then at the age of 8, my sister married the late Nana Opokuware, the second brother, Nana Kwambunso. So I moved from my village, Fuansi Achuma, to the Asante Henis court. So I was exposed to I was irradiated with the Ashanti tradition. Drums on festive days, experience in traditional jurisprudence, in the court. I kept listening to these great music and great musicians, especially the master drummers. So I decided to expose Ghanaians what they have.
When Ghanaians speak of a master drummer, they don't mean just a great drummer. It's a special role. What does it do?
So when the creator created, he created, among other things, he created the drummer. Odumankuma Badienu, Obo Chirema. Now, it all started from the court. The first master drummer was called a champon, so he was a very tall person. So before any master drummer begins to perform, he must play to the memory of this great drummer. A champon, tinting, a champon, tinting. Later on in the program, we'll demonstrate this. Now, we in Africa love drums. We drum when we are merry. We drum when we are sad. We drum when we go to war. We drum when we are victorious. All ancient civilizations enter historical times with a flourishing musical culture. And in our system, the court is very, very important. The repository of our culture. And all the talk about democracy, Western, and all the talk, we had our own. After all, democracy is debate. And we had it in our courts. We settled our disputes. And the interesting thing is, when Africans settle a dispute or a case, it ends there. And we do, it's an interesting exercise. We call yatotame. You shake the hands, and that's all. But in the law courts, you have to make an appeal. It becomes an extension. So the court was where I think I had my education. The master drummer is a very important man. He's a historian. He plays what we call tympanophony, imitating the sound of the human voice, the two drums. And later on in the program, I'll give you a simple example. Ratchet and others called it bush telegraph. You know, it's tuned in either a third or a fifth. And then you send messages. A simple example is the word papa, father. The two drums are low, high, or male, female. So when you say papa, it's low, high. Papa, we'll demonstrate that soon. It's father. When you say papa, it's goodness. Papa, fun. Papa is a branch of an oil palm tree. Papa is a festival in Kumau State in the Shanti. So by changing pitch, you change the meaning of the word. This was used. Now, when the master drummer is drumming alone, advising the king, playing appellations for the king instead. But when he's playing an ensemble, then he's controlled by the supporting drummers.
Huma Sekela has told me that in the 1950s, when Charlie Parker was still alive, he became aware of American jazz and started listening to Johnny Hodges and Oscar Peterson and these people. In fact, today he can still sing those solos that Parker and Hodges made together. When did you become aware of African-American music sort of returning to Africa and to Ghana?
My first influence was Professor William Neeser Lane, a pathologist and a lawyer. I worked in the pathology lab, you know, chemical pathology, same time in mortuaries and all that. And in the weekends, he introduced me to monks' music. He got tapes, he was crazy about African-American music. Dizzy Gillespie, Coltrane, Oscar Peterson. And so I knew, read about these people. Until in America or in Britain, I met Sonny Boy Williamson in person, Memphis Slim. And any time Duke Ellington came to London, I would book for Orion Hammersmith of all the centers. And in Manchester Free Trade Hall. I knew John Hodges. I knew Coogee Williams. I knew whistle style player. Cat Anderson.
Oh, wow. Man, you knew the best.
I knew most of them. And Clark Terry.
Did you know Duke?
Duke Ellington?
Yeah.
Yes, I'll go to their dressing room. But I never shook hands with him. When Cat Anderson was, you know, practicing using different mouthpieces to get to the door whistle register, I'll be just go into the studio to, and then just look at them. And Oscar Peterson, for example, had something I usually quote. If I don't practice a day, I know it. If I don't practice for 2 days, the audience knows it. If I don't practice for 3 days, the whole world knows it.
You're telling my musician. And he practiced too. And the Boston Symphony Orchestra, they still joke about, they couldn't believe his chops. And they said, how do you do it? And he said, churny. You know the churny exercises?
Yes.
That was Oscar's answer. Yeah. Probably any pianist would say the same.
Oh, yes. And he had arthritis. I'm told, but he overcame this by practicing. Playing in pain.
Yeah. So many of them did. Coltrane practiced around the clock. Never stopped.
And one interesting thing was this. The USIS, the center, it had one director, Dick Moore, who was a flautist. And he was a friend of mine. So when the American musicians, Pharoah Sanders and came here, he would arrange for a workshop. That was another opportunity. Memphis Slim signing yours bluesingly, Memphis Slim. Clark Terry. Clark became so friendly with me that when I was invited to teach traditional music, guitar, in University of Cape Coast. I introduced a young boy to him. He sent him a trumpet as a gift. And another trumpet, I'll say to you, who worked with me in Faisal's band, also worked with Clark Terry. You know, with his flugelhorn, instead of improvising that way, he would turn it. And then it was just easy for this great musician. It was a personal friend of mine.
We forget that the music out of Africa moves through the Caribbean, yeah, and Havana and New Orleans and New York and Europe and circles round and round, and everything seems to influence. Would you say that American jazz made a mark on your own performance?
I would say yes, especially Charlie Bird, the acoustic guitar player. He was in Ghana in 1968, and I was called by the American Center that we'll be visiting Kumasi. And so we got ready to meet this great man. And he put up a performance at the Prempeh Assembly Hall. And we all went there. And so when I went to New York around 1981, I flew to Washington, D.C., and I met an American brother, Northern Jose, played flugelhorn, played French horn, took courses in Vienna for years. And he drove me to this great man's house. He was a great influence.
Would you play something in memory of Charlie Bird?
Yes, I will. Blues for Night People. The shorter, the better.
No, the longer, the better. Are there other American musicians you want to pay your respects to with a little music? Anything for Duke? Anything for Johnny Hodges? Anything for Oscar?
I'll play something I heard when I was living at the court. Something like this.
What should we call that? Blues of some sort?
Yeah.
But speak of the other influences, too. Would you be about the same age as Fela Kuti?
Fela, I think I might be older than Fela. He was a great man and a friend of Faisal Helwani. So I respected him. When I was touring Harvard, Yale, with Professor John Collins, somebody was writing his biography. And Life of an Icon. And when I was in Australia, in a village, you listen to this great man's music.
Fela Kuti is very, very big in New York now. You know, there's a big Broadway show.
Yeah.
And among other things, it talks about his American influences. Mm. He loved Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. He loved Miles Davis. Mm. He loved James Brown. Mm. But maybe he is the urban Nigerian version of your country Ghanaian sound.
Yes. You see, I feel we should preserve this, share our understanding of our music with people. But to understand the people, we must understand their culture. And it's very important that we use music as a vehicle to do this. This is why I'm inviting young men and women to play with me. And I like quoting Napoleon Bonaparte, the German general, the French general. He says, every good leader is a dealer in hope. And then Walter Lippmann, George Santayana's Harvard man, assistant in philosophy, says, the final test of any good leader is that he leaves behind him, amongst men and women, the conviction and the will to carry on. In a humble way, this is what we are trying to do.
would your students want to join you in a tune?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. I was influenced a lot by a group, Sexteto Habanero, you know, Spanish things. And we'll run through that. Then, whilst he's here, we'll do... Sexteto Habanero. Antonio Carlos Jobim, one of those sambas, an introduction I use to play a seaman song because of the West African coast. It's a pidgin English, you know. And we'll play that for you. We'll start with the introduction.
This is Jobim?
Yes. Jobim, introduction. And then we'll break into our own Dagumba, a form of high life.
Oh,
please listen to this.
Okay.
Friday night was
just hoping if Santa, I give you a dollar. When I come, you say you see. When I go, you say you well. When I come, you say you see. When I go, you say you well. Today my day for me and you. We go now, find champion.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Jobim is happy.
Yes.
That's such a beautiful transition, my Lord. Do that again. Or do,
okay.
Do another one like it.
Okay.
I mean, a little bit of something else and a little bit of you, and it takes off. I love those words, too.
Okay. Now, listen to this one. I'm going to play a song I wrote titled Ganama. Now, Gowring was called Ghana Ba. So I didn't know it would have such a connection. Mm. So I'm going to do this to the memory of this great man.
Say are the elements, the influences in that tune?
I love inversions, especially on the guitar. For example, if I do a chord like this, the D7, an inversion, another inversion, but the third inversion is beautiful. You know, so unfortunately for you, I had one of my teachers, J.B. Buta, and then the lead into a Mensa, they put this together. The inversions, which we all love, changing tunes and the chords resonating with the human body.
I love that Jobim sequence.
Okay.
But I wonder, is there another tune, maybe an American tune, maybe a jazz tune, maybe a European tune, maybe a Bach tune, in which you sort of combine elements?
Okay. I love Charlie Bird. This was written by Mercer Ellington, Ellington's son. Mm-hmm. Things aren't what they used to be.
I know that tune well. Okay. I'll tell you a little story about that after you play it.
Okay. Thank you.
didn't hear what I think of as things ain't what they used to be. Mm. You know, ba 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 ba. Do you bring out that melody?
No.
How come? You play it your own way.
Yeah, my own way.
Good. The story about that song was simply, I said to Clark Terry one time, that sounds like Hodges to me.
Mm.
Perfect Hodges blues. He said, of course it's Hodges. Mm. Hodges wrote it. And he lost the tune to Mercer Ellington in a card game.
Oh.
What are we playing for? Well, we'll play for the tune. And Mercer won the tune.
Mm.
So it's always credited to Mercer, but it always sounds to me like Hodges.
Thank you. We're learning every moment.
Any other Ellington tunes? In a Sentimental Mood, or Mood Indigo, or...
Solitude,
or Daydream. Mm. Do you play Daydream?
No.
Prelude to a Kiss?
They do.
George, you want to play Prelude?
No, I cannot. You can only play alone, Antonio Carlos Jobim, the girl from Ipanema.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Would you play with him?
Well, I'll just listen to him.
You mentioned John Collins. I met John Collins years ago, a nice white English man who came to Ghana and went native and had the guts to travel with a Ghanaian band.
Mm.
A lot of pressure. And then he traveled with you.
Yes.
And he's now considered to be one of the leading ethnomusicologists of Ghana. How did that happen? How difficult was it for him to learn what you're doing and to be able to play in a band with you?
John heard a recording of mine by Jack Kilby, a photojournalist in London. He was traveling to South Africa, and he followed up to come and talk to me about my music. First of all, he felt I was an old man, you know, resting in a village, you know, drinking palm wine in the afternoon sort of thing. So we started chatting. He said, cool, I'm interested in this instrument. And we rehearsed, went to Accra together and recorded a song. Since then, we've been great friends. But then, we seemed to be traveling together.
Mm-hmm.
Our real visit was the one to Harvard, Yale, Wesleyan, Trinity College. And when we returned, John was up trying to apply for a post in the university, a higher post, like associate professor or something. And he was reluctant. He said, look, use some of the pictures they took at Harvard and attach these. You know, they've had a lecture tour and all that. That will surely raise your level. And he had the appointment, you know. And he's been playing. It's all over the place. He was a great friend of Fela and Kofi Kanaba. So this is John, as I know him.
What does an English man like John Collins bring to your sound?
I think percussion. And he worked with the late Kwame Mensah. And he then fell into my domain of Odonsong songs. And he does this. then is, you know, God rattle thing. But he likes the Gomba, this Friday night stuff we just did. And he plays on the guitar and sings also. So let's listen to an Odonsom form, which John loves so much. Goose love is. Odonsom music, Odon means love. And so means let love prevail. And the music is taken from Seperwa, which is African harp lute. Now, it's all arpeggios. So just listen to this. On Okonfo Anochi, the traditional priest who were with the Nano 32 to found the Asante Nation. It goes like this. Now I'm going to roll now. Okonfo Anochi, Ukoyache. Nanam Kauda Nedeni will win a Kumanochi gone for Nedeni will win a Kumanochi gone for. I don't buy him, you grow with Miss Rue. I don't mind him, young crab, one in young crab, and a macro woman, and I give you on Kumanama. I want to go to the province of Kujamas or the Zafumio. A Danny woman, a Kumanoji gone for a Danny Rio. The next one is titled It Takes So Much Energy to Hate. And a great Aristotle, it takes so much energy to hate. A little one. The old songs we're bringing back to expose the younger generation to.
Your friend Faisal Helwani said to me on the radio one time, said to me on the radio, he was desperately worried that Ghanaian music, the real thing, was being overtaken by commercial music, payola, and the drum machine. He was terribly worried that it was an endangered music. He would say about the imported music, he said, the worst thing about that shit is you listen to it five times and you start to like it. But the question was how to keep your music not only alive but popular. How do you do it?
Well, drum language. Drum is a universal language, just like doing this. So this is the area we are focusing and stressing on.
That was another thing Faisal Helwani said to me. He said, if you want melody, I think you would say, go to Guinea. You want singing, choral singing, go to South Africa. If you want to hear the drum, Ghana's the place. This is where God gave the world the drum.
Yes. Faisal, in fact, we performed at this when they were reading the Quran for. And this group performed. And while I was mentioning Fazan, we'd like to do a simple tune.
Please.
To the memory of this great man. The title is Mommy, Where Is My Daddy? It's a story about a man who lived with his wife, wealthy, but then he had a terminal disease, and he knew he would die, so he prepared a will. He bequeathed a story building to my wife. Take this, red sections, take care of our only child. The man died. On Christmas Day, the wife was just looking through the window, thinking about life, after life. The little boy came and said, "Mommy, where is my daddy?" "So your daddy is no more." Children don't understand these figures of speech. "What do you mean when you say my father is no more?" "This was his room. He should be there." I said, "No, we don't bury people in their rooms. He's buried." I said, "Where?" "At the graveyard." It was raining that morning. So the final question was, "Are the rains beating my daddy?" You don't have umbrellas in the cemeteries. So this is the theme of the song. We'll do it for Fazal. Open if you are a baby, yeah, you mean yes, Kepi, yeah, you baby. There, you will do a yachisha, really. Sabram, we are a brosse, the chow, for me, half of him, baby, and Chibian or Moko will become papa. In a brunyasi, and a pursuit talk. But free me, yamas, a mamma and papa, so mammy, papa, my baby. What's a hint order? Was in Sio, Papa only them, his cousin is here, Gutiano. Was in Sio to a mission, Papa. Mammy, I can't assume. Papa, the Sium. Mammy, I can't assume.
You have wonderful singers, but you also set the voicings so beautifully among them. Can you explain in a word how you place the melody and the harmonies?
Yeah. I usually have a female singer who sings the top part, then the male singer who sings the second part, which is the alto. Then I sing the tenor. But because I'm engaged, I have somebody else. So when my attention is divided, when I'm talking, he will also support. And I'm very particular. They know when I awake. They know when I moko. They know what to do. Because then they could hear what the next person is singing. Now, just listen to this one. Odakosomo. Odakosomo. Dokosomo, eni awo ae, e wasi ma ye denu uku, obe matu apenta na ye freu, e wasi ma ye denu uku. Dokosomo, eni awo ae, dokosomo, eni awo ae, e wasi ma ye denu uku. I am a boy, 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 I am a boy,
kwami nem juma si na mbeba mi nem juma si you may even up me amasa se ajemi tata tine mabri koko ti sa hini e bodo me wuo da mi ne bu uya e mi ne ja mi ne bu e ene upa na agura sa ya mi mi ja mi ne bu e bo bu e ja mi ne bu e
I have one big question and then three little questions. Big question, do you find yourself being influenced by Caribbean music, Cuban music especially, or reggae, or Marley, or Jamaica, or Brazil?
Brazil. And then Trinidad and Tobago. I was there to do a film, Crossing Over. And the influences, but I have a way of keeping the influence lighter so I don't destroy my own. So I listen to most of the things. That, what can I make out of all this? This is what I've been doing. But I listen to Latin, Calypso, a lot. But I use all these influences, all these techniques to do justice to our own. Because then we might be lost in the ocean. This is what I always try to do. But I'm told I'm a colonial, you know, old stuff. But I think there's something, we were talking about harmony. You heard what we were trying to do?
Yes.
Yeah, modal, the lady goes that way to get the effect. And this is what is, this is the court music, the palm wine music, which the old folk love to hear.
Would you give us a sample of those three things that have become famous, but I'm not sure where to draw the line? High life, hip life, and palm wine music.
Well, I'll start with high life. I'll do a song. The title is Overseas Life. This song was written in 1962 when I was in London as a student at the taxpayer's expense. We had a terrible winter, and I wrote this song, where elephants in London zoos had to be given champagne in the morning before they could move. To destroy inertia of the elephants, they needed champagne. The title of the song. The tune we are going to use is Amponsan. Amponsan, that is lingua franca of Ghanaian Hala music. This is Hala. Amponsan.
Bravo, Minyanume, Abrocha, Bravo, Abrocha, Bravo, Abrocha, Bravo, Ami. Abrocha, Bravo, Minyanume, Abrocha, Bravo, Abrocha, Bravo, Abrocha, Bravo, Ami. Abrocha brabo ye kwewiye ye abrocha brabo abrocha brabo abrocha brabo ya biye deni.
Now, palm wine, which is my area.
Where does the music come
yeah.
from?
Yeah, palm wine, I'll show you later, palm tree there. Palm tree is felled and then it is tapped and the sap that comes from it is collected in a pot. It contains a lot of yeast cells, so the alcohol content increases over time. And the palm wine tapper is a very important person in almost all our villages. People gather around, sit under a shady tree and wait for his arrival. He comes with a pot. The cartoon feature is foam on top. He's welcome. He passes a calabash around and they serve the people. This is palm wine. And the music that was created under this environment is called palm wine music. Senja singum. Now,
and we dance with palm wine music?
We dance with it.
Amen.
We once played at Elmina, and a spokesman got onto the floor. It was crazy. Dancing to the music they love. So, Sejasi Onwam. Angome waka bembo. Start this way. Angome. When it comes to hip-hop, all these, I'm a stranger to all that. This is what I believe in. Then we did the Dangumba tune Friday night. Ha! These are the areas we specialize. Palm wine, high life, Odon song. But then these young boys, they have taken up this, I encourage them to do what they want to do because as artists, they can choose their own colors to paint for the effect they want. But I don't do any of these hip something, unfortunately. I had a student, Verga Jesus, in my class in Seattle, Washington, from Peru. And when we did that, Goma, we were going to A. You know, there's a Malambo. The influences are still there.
I'm so greedy, but I want to hear a little bit more of that Jobim mix or maybe Caribbean or Brazilian or combination could be anything.
Yeah.
There's another song too Papa did from Aguado. You know, Papa listens to Aguado, and then he wants more of influence, some of what Papa has fused into his. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, you know, I'm just struck. You speak about Peru. You speak Seattle, Oscar Peterson, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the world of music that you haven't heard and taken a look at and maybe absorbed. Could you give us one more example of the stew, the combinations, the blend, the adaptation, the hybridization, the globalization? I would call it also the open source music. Mm. It's all out there for everybody to play with.
Okay. The first thing I will do is just short thing about Aguado, a Spanish musician. And it goes like that, a little bit of it. Then I did. Eternal, you know, eternal, you know, be walilu, walilu, be flimmy, tawdy, ha. Goya mi dona le made ima, goya mi dona le made ima. English ye wo be good morning, how was that to be bonjour, how was that to be semichera, what a to be ye we. Then the other one. Now then this one, so Latin something I did for my late wife, you say. My wife's death has made me dumb. When the dumb person dreams, the information remains here.
Thank you. You always beat me to the punch. But thank you,
thank you.
Konimo. Fantastic gift. You know, Yo-Yo Ma, you know, the cellist, the famous cellist Yo-Yo Ma, he's made a big project in the last 10 years maybe of what he calls the Silk Road Project, of playing music in groups of with all sorts of musicians from Central Asia and, you know, Kazakhstan and Iran and the Middle East and Azerbaijan, Armenia, Turkey, the root of the old silk trade. And of course he finds that all music has everything in common. So many variations and all the differences count, but so many things in common too. And my God, you demonstrate it just as dramatically right here.
Quatrain says all musicians are interested in the truth. So, W.E.B. Du Bois, somebody I loved, and this is his last statement to the world. One thing alone I charge you, as you live, believe in life. Always human beings will live and progress to greater, broader, and fuller life. The only possible death is to lose belief in this truth, simply because the great end comes slowly, because time is long. Thank you.
Konimo and all of your wonderful musicians, thank you from the heart.
Thank you.
Paul McCarthy edited my morning with the living master of Ghanaian and world music, Konimo. Deepest thanks to Konimo himself and to our friend Kwajo Opoku Ajumang for leading me to his palm wine studio and his musical family in Kumasi. Leave your own impressions and your preferences in West African music, from high life to Afrobeat to hip life and beyond, at our website, radioopensource.org.
I'm Christopher Lydon. Thank you for being part of the conversation.